Noble Dairy Queen's new summer blizzard menu is back, and it is stacked. Dive right into the summer celebration with their new peanut butter cookie dough party blizzard. You can sink your red spoon into their world-famous DQ soft serve, filled with delicious chunks of chocolate chip cookie dough, swirls of creamy peanut butter topping, and peanut brittle crunch with sprinkles. If the peanut buttery flavor isn't your jam, their fresh take on cobbler a la mode certainly will. Say hello to the Picnic Peach Cobbler Blizzard. You can also let your taste buds crumble with the Ultimate Cookie Blizzard that features Oreo, Chips Ahoy, and Nutter Butter pieces. Dairy Queen knows everyone loves a good comeback, and fan favorite Blizzard flavors Frosted Animal Cookie, Brownie Batter, and Cotton Candy have made their triumphant return. Summer Blizzard flavors are now available at your Noble Dairy Queen stores with locations in Kankakee, Bourbonnais, Moments, and Manteno. Happy tastes good. With the shortage of mental health professionals in Kankakee County, along with your super busy schedule, you might be having a hard time finding the mental health care that you or your family needs. And that's why True Heights Treatment has made it easier for you by offering video and phone sessions in addition to their in-person counseling services. True Heights Treatment was founded by Olivet Nazarene University alumnus George Brassey and strives to provide a safe and comfortable environment for all ages and all walks of life. Request an in-person, online, or phone appointment now at TrueHeightsTX.com. That's TrueHeightsTX.com.
Taco John's Boulder Breakfast Menu is coming for the drive-thru breakfast belt. And with our heavy-hitting meat and potato breakfast burritos and knockout Mexican donut bites, those other drive-thrus might as well throw in the towel. The Boulder Breakfast Menu, only at Taco John's. Craving a little mealtime vacation today? Let Taco John's 3-for-6 Mango Shrimp Street Tacos whisk you away to a faraway land of tropical flavor. Experience the wild thrills of crispy shrimp, tango with freshly made mango salsa, and churn things up with exotic chimichurri sour cream. All from the front seat of your car. 3-for-$6 Mango Shrimp Street Tacos. Summertime only at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better. Download our app, earn free food. If money talked, it would say,
Taco John's Valuist menu means bold bites to keep you and your wallet full. Premium ingredients like hand-cut sirloin steak, crispy fried chicken, and fresh pico starting at $1, $2, or $3.
Sounds like a delicious deal. The Valuist menu at Taco John's.
Thankful for the way these stories hold on to the lifetime we won't give back. I know these rivers carry
Welcome to Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore, and this is where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. And I'm pretty excited about today's episode because we have quite a plethora of people in front of me. And this is actually the first time so far that I've had four people on. I had both four fingers on my hands. Just one hand there, Jake. Anyway, so far, this is the most people I've had on the podcast, and this is exciting just because the people in front of me are, and the fly. I should mention the fly, too, that we got a fly on the show today. The people in front of me are a lot of
movers and shakers, I guess, as Lisa put it on the phone the other day, which is so true. Let's go down the line, starting with Barbie. You guys can introduce yourself, since, you know, everyone would like to hear what you sound like and all that. So whenever you do talk in this episode, people know, oh, okay, that I think that's Barbie, and then that's Nicole. And so,
yeah, I'm Barbie Brewer Watson, and I'm the executive director of the Economic and Community Development Agency for the City of Kankakee.
I'm Dave Barron. I'm a Kankakee attorney, and I'm also the alderman for the second ward in the City of Kankakee.
And I'm Nicole Smokovich. I'm the executive director of the Community Foundation of Kankakee River Valley, covering Kankakee and Iroquois counties.
Lisa Wogan with Preservation Realty. I spent about 20 years in community and economic development here in the region before jumping on to over to the private side onto this project we're going to talk about today.
So are you no longer part of the Economic Alliance then?
No, okay. I'm not. So as of December, okay. That was my last
That's month. I wasn't sure if you were still doing this and also that. That's why I was like, wow, that's interesting. That's interesting how that works.
She still holds an emeritus status.
Okay.
People go to her for everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably, because you were with the Economic Alliance for how long?
About 10 years. Yeah. So in various roles.
Right.
So it was a nice transition over to the private side. So
yeah.
I was going to say,
it's very similar. You know.
Similar, yeah. Pretty much doing the same thing.
Everyone here is all from different parts of the community, different important organizations, but you're actually all coming together under Preservation Realty. And I just want to know simply, how did this start? We'll get into the premise of like what Preservation Realty is here in Kankakee, but where did it start? Who did it start with?
Oh my goodness. Well,
yeah, we're going to be here for a long time. All right. I'm going to get comfortable. Comfortable.
I mean, our longest episode, I think, is 2.5 hours. So we'll see. If you want to beat that one, we can try.
I would say, there's really no starting point. Mm-hmm. This community has been working on in different arenas of development since the very start of the community in 18 something. So it's been an incremental,
something like that.
An incremental thing. I mean, the discrete project, I would say, started in 2019, right?
Yeah.
But there were so many years of work before that, decades and, many, many years. And it really, I think, kickstarted after the last downturn, or even several downturns ago. The community really came together under different organizations to do economic development regionally. And the thought was, hey, we're working our way out of a recession. And this may have been in the 80s, and I hate to bring up hate to say the R word, but, when Roper left and when some of the large manufacturers left the region.
Well, there were so many besides,
ago.
Yeah, besides yeah. Roper, you had General Mills. And,
right.
There was A.O. Smith.
Yes.
The list goes on.
And thousands of people were unemployed, in a matter of a short period of time.
Yes.
So it was a shock to the system, and the community really came together and said, what's our next chapter going to look like? And so that's where it all began.
Okay. So as far back as then, I guess. You guys are doing the grunt work, but who's like the main person that is behind this?
It's a collective. It really is a collective, collaborative project. And that's what's really important to note about this is if we weren't working together regionally, the conditions wouldn't be right for something like this to take place. And so, as we move forward, it's really important that Kankakee is Kankakee County and seen as a region, especially in community and economic development. We affect each other. So when we work together, then these kind of big projects can take place, and it benefits everybody within the region.
Okay.
There's, like Lisa said, there's a number of different places where this project began. One of those spots was at Bears Camp. in 2019.
Yeah.
The last Bears camp that was held in Bourbonnais, like Barbie mentioned, this was a regional effort, and at that moment it was brought together by the Kankakee County Convention and Visitors Bureau. They hosted a economic development-oriented event where we invited a number of people who might have interest in doing some work in Kankakee County. Turns out that one of those people are the group that Lisa now works for. And at that single event where we watched the Bears practice, I was able to talk to Brian Lofton. Barbie was able to talk to Josh Jeffers. Lisa was able to talk to a lot of them as well, mayors as well. We portrayed Kankakee County as what it is, what it was and what it can be. And that really led to a number of other conversations that put together this project that is very comprehensive and again, very regionally minded.
So these are the investors that you spoke about.
Right.
And so they're the ones that took interest in, you're like, hey, look, there's so many cool things that have happened here in the county since its beginning. And they're, obviously, there's still cool things.
Right.
You know, one of them. Being CSL Behring, I mean, that they've grown into such a big company. And so you presented this material, and he's like, okay. It's like, I'll invest in that, right?
Well, I mean, and the jobs piece was huge, and we had been talking about that for years. You know, there's been a misperception in the community for a long time that there aren't jobs and there aren't good jobs. But that, you know, when I was with the Economic Alliance, that was kind of our story for many years, and it was a true story. It wasn't hype. So, but it was difficult to get out because people had a misperception that. That, you know, kind of back to the Roper days, that those jobs weren't there. And, you know, day by day, not only are the jobs there, but the jobs are getting better and better all the time. So it's just it's interesting. So that the fact that we had that solid base of jobs, good jobs, really opened the door to be able to talk to these investors are all about livability, quality of life. So kind of the other side of the coin, there's the jobs coin, and then there's everything else that goes into making a community wonderful. And we started focusing on that other side, recognizing that investors, they like to see that you have a balanced community. So that's really how this evolved.
And what are some of the other, you know, I agree with you on, you know, everyone says there's not jobs or whatever. So what are some of those other places, though, that you're speaking of that actually do have the jobs or who have been growing the job market here in the county?
So in addition to CSL?
Yes.
Well, I would invite everybody to go on to the Economic Alliance website and look at the top and just search for top employer list. Uh-huh. I mean, there's a nice comprehensive list of employers with, you know, how many employees they have, the kind of the sector that they're in. And, you know, these are businesses that, you know, they do advertise that there are jobs available. You have to be a bit proactive, you know, and you have to kind of get yourself out there. But I think if people are willing to work, there's opportunity very close by. So that was very attractive too. Yeah. There's many places that just don't have that base of legacy businesses and even new businesses like Futureceuticals over in Moments, kind of the innovation side of things. We're very lucky we have that diversified manufacturing base.
I agree.
Right now, everyone's hiring. So
you're right.
Like, that's not a secret.
No.
And a lot of those great, you know, great jobs or even the ones that are out there that are highly skilled that we're also talking about, too, you can get the training that you need here, too. We have everything that you need here in this community to get the skills that you need to get those jobs. And so that's the other kind of part of the story is that we do have all the resources here. But because of that misperception, you know, those jobs are going to people who don't live here. They're commuting into this area and not living here, but taking those really great jobs and then going back to Frankfort, Tinley Park, you know, just areas that are outside of here.
I mean, why not?
Well,
they see
it's a good opportunity. Yeah.
And that's where the livability comes into play. And that's the word that we use because that's what's important about this. So, I mean, if anybody's listening to this looking for a job, oh my gosh,
yeah.
You know, JR Short Milling just last week, they're looking for 30 new people, mm-hmm. You know, so we've got a lot of opportunity here and we really have to just be working on changing the mindset.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Dave, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, it's always Frankfurt. whenever there is something where you say, like, well, we should be like Frankfurt, or uh-huh. you know, people live up in Frankfurt. But it is true. I mean, we have a number of jobs. People have filled them, but they've decided for whatever reason to live in places like Frankfurt or New Lenox. And we did a number of different focus groups with people who actually do work in the county but live outside the county and asked them why. You know, what's leading you to make that decision? And a lot of it came down to amenities. You know, there's certain aspect of what we don't have in Kankakee County that we need to improve upon. The way that you build up those amenities and those things to do is through small business. It's through entrepreneurial ideas, which has really kind of fed into this entire project. The idea behind the project is to be a catalyst for small business, for entrepreneurs, to really take off and to then feed into the larger ecosystem of the larger employers and make sure that we have the people who have work at the good jobs stay here and live here and be part of the community.
Yeah, because I know sometimes some of those people that that do commute from other counties
Frankfurt.
I mean, Frankfurt's so close, so it only makes sense, right? That there is a lot of people from Frankfurt. You're absolutely right. So I feel like sometimes they do end up moving down here. Not always, but I've definitely heard those stories. Right. You know, they talk about, oh, yeah, I ended up, you know, moving down here and, you know, figured I started working here and checking out more things in the county, and it convinced me to, but not enough as to like kind of like what you're saying, you know.
Right. More, I mean, the experiences that we have are great. They're strong. The farmers market is regionally renowned. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who do that are the creatives. You know, the ones who come up with ideas like podcasts about, you know, the history of the county. But seriously, I mean, that's
you're
the
too
people.
Kind.
But honestly, I mean, if you look at any thriving community that is growing, that is looking to recreate themselves from, you know, a solely manufacturing base, you have to bring in the creatives, you have to bring in the entrepreneurs to do the new types of businesses, the disruptors that are going to do something in a 21st century environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about more getting into the meat of what Preservation Realty is doing. We're talking about all these great things, but how is Preservation Realty getting these things rolling?
Celebrate Mother's Day with D. Westfall Jewelers on Broadway and Bradley. You can shop 20% off store-wide from now until Mother's Day. If you spend $199 or more now through May 8th, you can receive a $25 gift card from Texas Roadhouse. And then from May 9th through the 12th, if you spend $199 or more, receive a bouquet of flowers from Bada Bloom in Bourbonnais. Mom deserves to shine this Mother's Day with new jewelry from D. Westfall Jewelers on Broadway and Bradley. Like and follow D. Westfall Jewelers on Facebook and Instagram for more info.
So you want to kind of dive into the actual project.
Let's dive into these projects. Because
he wants to know what we're building. are we building?
Yeah, what are you building? Because, like, I know when I saw the sale or occupation of the old Midland
right.
States Bank, or
right.
or some people still call it the Kankakee Federal.
They do. Yeah. Many people.
And, you know, I mean, it was Kankakee Federal for so many years. Then it was Centru. Then
That's
it was
right.
Midland.
Yep.
But we're talking right there on the corner of Schuyler and Station.
Yes.
It's a big building you can't miss.
It is. It's 30,000 square feet. And so the idea with that particular project, so just to back up a second.
Let's back up.
Yeah. There are two residences residential pieces that we're talking about here. So, you know, as we kind of were talking about the livability side, there was a lot of work that had been done to understand what type of housing people want and what type of gaps we had on the housing side. So that really kind of kickstarted this conversation.
Okay. So what did you learn in that research then of what people and how do you learn that? Is it focus groups? Is it surveys?
Yes.
Is
it? It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So Dave mentioned some focus groups we did with top employers. So kind of went around the county and talked to those employers or employees that commuted in. So in commuters, we call them. And then there are professionals who do studies, who do market studies to understand like what you're missing in your market. And it was pretty clear. It wasn't really that we needed a study to tell us that we didn't have modern apartments with amenities. All of our communities had been talking about wanting to bring some of that online, and so Kankakee was really well positioned with a downtown district with many different incentives to start talking more seriously about repurposing some of the older buildings downtown to make way for that those rental units. So that's kind of how that evolved. And so one of the projects, this is probably in addition to the Midland building, the redevelopment of the Pope Brace building.
Which is right next to the gas and wash.
Yes.
On Washington.
Right, and I mean, it's, gosh, I wish I could remember the year. It's a turn of the century building. So around, I think it's around 1900. And everyone knows it was the Pope Brace Company was in there. There's a great history behind that if anyone wants to look into that.
That was for people with polio, right?
That's right. There were braces, made at that time. And actually, the owner of that company knew Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there was a relationship there. So, you know, that we don't want to maybe go too much into historical
preservation.
That's for your museum
when you bring
Victoria back.
I mean, it's still cool to know, though, because that just makes it so much cooler. But I mean, and that's one of those buildings that we drive by every single day just because it's right off Court Street. And right there, almost exactly on the corner on Washington. Obviously, like I said, the gas and wash comes before it, but you know, it's a tall building. And I always thought it looked so cool. And I'm like, man, if something would happen there, you know, there could be something, you know, and that's just how there's so many empty buildings that you look at and you're like, man. Like, well, something so cool could go in there.
That one in particular, for years, people had said, that, you know, that should be condos. That should be apartments.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
It was just such a natural. There had been work done in the preceding years to try to locate an art space. Art Space is an organization that does redevelopment of historic properties as well. So various people in Kankakee, Mike O'Brien was one of them. Previously with Homestar Bank, they led a coalition to kind of look into that feasibility. So there had been a lot of work done, and again, with the collaborative and kind of incremental nature of this work, that really when a developer came on the scene that was kind of ready to seriously look at what we had to offer, we had all of that. We had all of that work that we had done in advance, and that really positioned us very tremendously for this opportunity. So that particular building in 2023, and Barbie's going to jump in if I mess up any of these dates. 2023, early 2023 is expected to come online. What is it? 60 units? 40 units?
Well, it's really 35, but it's
35 units.
It's 35 units, and then it's co-living space. So there's four en suites kind of in one apartment. So you have like four bedrooms.
Oh, so it's almost like
then you have a communal living space.
Oh, okay.
But and here's the thing is everybody's kind of like, oh, how does that work? You know, I can see your I see your face.
Well, no.
When you think about it, we have a really great young professional workforce here with doctors, nurses, you know, engineers, bioengineers. I'm trying to think what else. We also have a large student population that's living here, especially at KCC, that is going to fit into this. This building is going to be filled. It will be filled, yeah, student athletes alone for KCC. So we have such a need that those units are going to – there's a whole workforce here that wants that kind of style of living. And that's what's going on in the city and other – areas.
Well, I was going to say, you know, people are already, most people, not most, but a lot of people that are renting, they've got roommates already.
Yeah.
So really, it's no different than,
different.
I can't tell you how many of my friends have rented houses together over the years. Like four people get together and they go rent a house. Well, in this case, they could rent a cool, space.
With a rooftop deck.
I was going to say with a rooftop. So there's going to be four of these suites.
There's like four bedroom, bathroom kind of, en suite. And then you have your living room, kitchen in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So co-living space.
Mm-hmm. That's all. And I mean, it's perfect for, now you're talking about this is going to be for artists.
There is an art component to this. I mean, if the artists could live there, but in the basement, we're talking about having some usable space for artists to be able to use in that area. So there is a need for our creative entrepreneurs to find space here. And if they live there, then that's going to be an easy work commute.
Yeah.
Literal studio apartments.
Yeah.
I mean, ones that will be used as art studios and studio apartments.
Oh, okay. So kind of like one in one. So, and the cool thing is there's so many different types of art. Not necessarily we always think right to painting or something like that.
Yeah.
But, obviously there's musicians and filmmakers and all that. That's all art.
Yes, you're right.
So there's so many different things that fall under that. So like Barbie said, I could imagine that getting definitely filled up.
I think so. Well, and also just the fact if we have residents there from the hospitals, I mean, it's walkable, to their workplace, which is really what we're going for in downtown Kankakee, is more of that urban kind of walkable, livable community. And Kankakee is really well positioned. Every other community's got something, that they could pivot on and kind of build from. But Kankakee is fortunate to have that nice historic downtown and the riverfront as well.
The riverfront development. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. There's that being worked on as
exactly.
well. So.
And this plays right into it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I do want to mention too, just kind of tie it back to kind of how we started too. I wasn't alive for the exodus of businesses. So it's kind of like a story that, I got told growing up in the area.
Oh, yeah.
I see it, obviously, when we grew up here. You see those empty buildings. You've seen the potpourri. We talked about that. When people start working on this building and we see the construction happening, in my opinion, and what I'm really hoping is this is also the perception, issue. This is the spiritual transformation of the city and the residents who've been here, who continue to think of Kankakee in that light, who continue to bring it up in every conversation that Kankakee's not worth anything. That once the construction starts on this particular building, people can't drive by anymore and say, this is old Kankakee or, Kankakee doesn't have anything, because that's not going to be true anymore. So I'm really, really excited about this. And I'm really excited that somebody came into the area and saw what we all see when we're, at work every day. And, we're in the empty buildings, there's an aviary and potpourri, and I've been there several times, my predecessors in my current role, they did the same thing. I mean, this is going to be transformational, and I want it to be. I so want it to be, because if we can make that happen, then the riverfront is possible, and that will happen. And any other future developments that come out of this is because we also, as a community, believed that this is possible. So it is much bigger than, just what we're talking about. It's why we keep using the word catalyst.
Well, it's you got to start somewhere, and obviously the name Preservation Realty really clicks in well with this whole thought process mm-hmm. and this whole plan, because it really is about preserving or repurposing what we do have
right.
available at our hands. You know, we've got these buildings that are built really well. Not all of the old buildings are built that well, but
actually,
a lot of
most really are.
Yeah.
And that's really the basis for historic preservation, is the fact that, you know, if you had to rebuild a building, you know, the same thing one-to-one today, it would be prohibitively expensive. So anything that's already built is of much higher quality than what you can build today.
So you're finding that it ends up being more cost-effective
yes.
to restore these historic buildings?
In many regards, although, you know, if you look at Pope Race, it's mm-hmm. been neglected for quite
yes.
a long time.
Yes.
So it's completely gutted on the inside. There are no utilities. There are no, the roof is caving in. So it's a true fact that you need a special developer to come along and stay, and with some chops, who understands how to access different types of financing to be able to fund it. Or else it wouldn't be feasible. It just wouldn't be feasible. Even in a market that's super hot, it's difficult to do projects like that. So I think our understanding also of like historic tax credits and the different, it happens to be in an opportunity zone. If people know what opportunity zones are, I mean, that's another cool, you know, Dave and all of us were meeting for, you know, a couple years before this came online, talking about how we're going to leverage the opportunity zone. And mm-hmm. so, again, this is in the middle of an opportunity zone, and there's so many stackable incentives there that really works in our favor, too. So it was really like kind of, I don't know, a colliding of a lot of, you know, it just was kind of a perfect collision, I guess. Another piece of this that you mentioned that we want to make sure to get to is the Midland redevelopment. And so the Midland, or we call it East Station Street development, is a two-parter. So in one piece, and Barbie, you're going to have to help me with this, the number of, I don't have these committed to memory, but we're building a new apartment building just to the east of the Midland building. So that's a much larger market rate apartment building, and it's not the co-living concept. It's the traditional.
It's the traditional single
one,
units.
One, two, and three bedroom with some amenities, kind of with some activation. Our CEO, Brian Lofton, talks about that. And bringing some activation into the space. How many units is it, Barbie?
Yeah, last site plan I saw was 92.
So 92 units. So it's fairly
large.
So how
high? I was going to say, is it pretty?
Five stories?
5 stories, okay.
So that's again, the idea is to bring
living to.
Yeah, exactly. And what does that do? I mean, that supports the small business community.
Yes.
So it all kind of becomes a symbiotic kind of thing. That's what we're trying to achieve. So in that vein, we recognize, Barbie and I have worked for many years, Nicole as well, and Dave as well, on entrepreneurship and supporting small businesses through, if anyone remembers, the Enterprise U program from back in the day, about 2012 to 2017.
That sounds familiar. What was that exactly? I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, it was a business plan competition kind of program. So we had folks go through with KCC. We hosted this with KCC. With the Chamber of Commerce.
You know, I was going to say that's why I recognize it, because you came in, because Barbie, when you were you were the executive director, right?
Or
of the Kankakee County Chamber of Commerce. I think you must have come into the radio station for an interview, and that's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah, Enterprise U was a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so it was like a competition.
Yes,
right?
And so we had. KCC at that time had a Small Business Development Center, which is a federally kind of funded program. And so they had that there. So really it was leveraging that program and then adding some speakers to the program and some mentoring pieces. So really building out a nice kind of discrete small business development program. So we did that for about 6 years, and it ran for a few months each year. To all told, we had about 150 people go through the program, and we have some folks in the community who kind of really benefited from being in the program and really have gone on to bigger and better things. So Carlisle Architects is one example.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They seem to be doing well.
Oh, yeah. Arsenal Media Productions, Cream of the Crop. Align Yoga. Help me out.
Fit Body You.
Fit Body You.
Yeah, wow, Gracie. There's Gracie Pie Apothecary. Yeah.
Spice Done Right.
Yeah.
Spice Done Right. I don't know if I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, they've been at the farmer's market.
Is that a spice? They make spices?
They create spices for food.
Wow, that's cool.
Neighborhood Kitchen. I'm looking at this list right
Barbie's
here.
Barbie's got
a That's quite a few.
And we had a lot of success. I mean, we had some success stories, but we also learned a lot of things.
We learned a lot about what our gaps are in resources to entrepreneurs and really what we need to be doing and working to support that the entrepreneurs here. And there's different kind of categories of entrepreneurs, and all of them are here, but we're really good at supporting the retail storefront kind of entrepreneur. I have a product, that's easy to make and we can do that. But if you've got like an innovative idea and you need a patent, I mean,
you're lost. Yeah.
You don't have that specialized service. So, a lot of times when I was at the chamber, it's like I'm making a phone call to Lisa and we're making phone calls to the Chicagoland area because, and we don't have all the answers or resources here. And then that person's now gone out of the area. And we don't, did they succeed? Did they not?
Yeah.
And if they were here and could succeed, we could have had some innovative, brand new, wonderful business that's here. And for as much as we are very grateful about Enterprise U and the success, and we do need some version of that back in the area, we also need to make sure that we're covering all the bases of entrepreneurship. And technology is so rapidly changing that entrepreneurism changes with it. So those gig workers, if you're a DoorDash driver, you're an entrepreneur to me. If, you're driving Uber or Lyft, if you're, doing the dog walking app, I don't even remember, what is it, WAG? I'm trying, there's a couple. But you're an entrepreneur to me.
Rover. At Rover? Isn't that one?
Oh,
Rover?
Yeah.
It's the dog watcher one.
A dog watcher. Oh.
We've taken him in.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, those are entrepreneurs that we don't currently have services to support them. And so, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we have much to be excited about. But as we're looking at this Midland space to be a hub for business and entrepreneurship, we've got to look at what's in the building, what's in that space.
So when you're talking about making the old Midland States Bank building, talking about making that a hub or an incubator for entrepreneurs, what does that mean? Is it like a more like a community space, or is it somewhere where an entrepreneur can rent a small space for a very small fee, or
it's a little bit of everything. I was describing it yesterday to Mayor Curtis, and I'm like, it's going to be like a little bit like a circus.
I was going to say it kind of sounds like a circus, or you could even reference like it's like a mall for an entrepreneur.
Right.
It's got a little bit of everything, kind of like a retail mall has. It's got a shoe store. It's got a clothing store. It's got a hat store. It's got an electronics store. So
maybe not quite to that level, but.
Well, I mean, it sounds like that's what comes to my mind, because maybe in this incubator space, there might be, you were talking about podcasting. You said there could be a space to get your media stuff.
Right. That's under discussion.
I'm trying to think of what else.
I mean, you could just go down the line of what you think a business needs,
Pretty much. Yeah. Especially if you're an entrepreneur, though, trying to build from nothing.
Yeah.
Or from the ground up, kind of thing.
Totally. And everybody and every entrepreneur needs something different. That's where the challenge comes into play, right?
Yeah.
And we also needed to we have a lot of work left to do in this next half of the year. But what we do know is that we have a lot of hospitality-centered entrepreneurs here. We've got a lot of people baking goods out of their home, from dog treats to really good sweet treats for humans. We've got people that are doing catering businesses that are just looking for any commercial kitchen they can find to be in. And of course, because we've got a resilient community, they're finding it, whether it be at a school that is no longer, you know, in operation, you know, to partnering with Knights of Columbus Kitchen to be in there in that space as well. So, I know that there will be a really great focus on hospitality in this incubator space, because we need to cultivate that. And it also complements what is going on downtown already. If we want to have people eating and enjoying, you know, some good beverages of all types, coffee to, you know, alcoholic, we also need to be cultivating that workforce and training those entrepreneurs to be able to do that kind of work. And I'm sorry, the riverfront is going to be full of opportunities for fun restaurants,
yes,
craft breweries, you know, craft cocktail type places, more coffee, tea oriented places too. And so that whole riverfront, that for the next 20 years. So having this space that will have some focus on hospitality is really important to the success of the other things that are already underway. So there will be that portion of it, because we learned just doing the early market work of how the space could be utilized. We've got a really healthy regional hospitality group of entrepreneurs that are going to use this space. So.
And also, in addition to that, we have some partners in the community who are very excited to come alongside us and kind of see where their programming can go and evolve with us. So those would be Kankakee Community College has talked about developing a culinary program. They have a hospitality kind of track right now that they're sort of just starting. District 111 has been very, we've met with them several times. So we've had probably 200 meetings with individuals and organizations, and just to figure out how, you know, the use of these facilities and down to who would be using the facilities, mm-hmm. how would they be using the facilities?
Yeah, because so, that's what I wonder is, yeah. that's why I asked, is it going to be, are there going to be spaces available that someone can rent out, or how's...
Right now, as we, you know, and we like to say this is going to be an evolving thing.
Right, because you're still doing research.
Well, right. On this, and just right. even over time, we're entering into a 20-year public-private partnership with the city of Kankakee. So that's a pretty groundbreaking, you know, thing mm-hmm. for any community. So we're excited about that. And we have a lot of responsibility that comes, everybody kind of feels very responsible to the community to make sure that what we're building is really resonating and is useful to the community. So we'll talk about that piece of it and how we're going to engage the community. But just to understand what we're bringing online in January, the first floor of the Midland and the old Kankakee Federal. Imagine the old Kankakee Federal. The first floor will be taken up with, you know, the centerpiece of it really is a culinary commercial kitchen space that's going to be used to service special events. So if anybody wants to host a special event there, or the tenants in the building have a special event that they are hosting. So we see a lot of that type of use in the building. It's a lot of kind of flexible space for events. It'll be a teaching kitchen as well. So that's where District 111 right now comes into play.
Or KCC.
Yeah. District 111 is ready to go right now. You know, they have a program really built out, and they see what we have potentially going on there as sort of an evolution of what they have. So they can have cooks on a line working as a team in support of an event or that type of thing. They love that experiential piece. And then it's also going to be space for small producers, like the cottage producers, like Barbie talked about with muffins and things like that. So that kitchen we see is being used probably 24/7, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really important piece of that main floor. The Kankakee County Convention and Visitors Bureau will be on that main floor in a new office space. We've talked to them, you know, and we're still ironing out the details of that, but they've expressed a lot of interest in being housed in that space.
They'll be just down the street, because now they just opened up another office. They've got the new office there on Skyler.
But the potential idea is to eventually move
into the incubator.
Right. So, of course. That, I mean, that only makes sense, right. Being the visiting, the Kankakee County Visitors Bureau, you know, well, or Convention and Visitors Bureau.
And
that's a perfect space.
They then become a really important piece of developing those hospitality businesses, right?
Yes.
Like understanding where the gaps are and that type of thing. So and the rest of the main floor really will be kind of open space, flexible use space.
The pop-up shop.
The cubbies.
Okay.
Loving that spot.
The retail cubbies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, there will be space kind of like a farmer's market. You know, the kind of the farmer's market serves as an outlet for people who may or may not have a retail space. So there'll be some dedicated space for that type of use.
A pop-up, that's a fantastic idea because there are so many. Mm-hmm. That's become a huge thing in the last 5 years is these pop-up shops, whether they're local or regional or national or whatever, they need somewhere to pop up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect.
Children are naturally drawn to art and the creative process. For them, it can be a form of expression as they explore the materials, gain confidence, and feel a sense of competency as they create something based on their own ideas and efforts. That's why Little Me's studio in Bourbonnais created the Big Kids Art Lab for ages 5 to 12. Little Me's studio crafted this safe space for your big kid to slow down, be in the moment, and be comfortable making messes while trying something new. Big Kids Art Lab meets every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Little Me's studio across the street from Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Studies indicate that art making has so many positive effects for the brain, body, mind, and heart. Enroll in one class at littlemestudio.com or sign up for the entire session and save. littlemestudio.com to sign up for Big Kids Art Lab. Make sure you follow Little Me Studio on Facebook and Instagram.
The lower level, and probably no one who's listening to the very few people have been to the lower level. Right now, it's not too inspiring, but the lower level will be where the incubator, the dedicated business incubator space will be. So it won't be as much dedicated office space that people can rent. It'll be more, flexible space that people, they do pay a fee, a monthly fee to be able to use that space and also to access the educational component, which we're hoping will be provided by KCC and others. But KCC has expressed some interest in providing some of the, you know, the accounting and the different type of technical skills that technical education that entrepreneurs need. There'll be a kind of a shared conference space there that will be shared by the tenants of the building, and also that'll be the instructional space down there. That's where a potential podcast space could be. So we'll have to talk about that.
Well, you know, it seems like I'm always podcasting in a basement. So, you know, I may as well continue that tradition, right? Because, you know, before I was in my own basement, I was in my parents' basement. So, you know, may as well just continue the trend.
Yes.
And keep that going. But
and then the upper floor, the second floor, will be our resource partners. So this is dedicated space for our non-for-profit partners. And many of these agencies and organizations already have a component of what they do that supports small business, entrepreneurship, workforce development, that type of thing. Or they want to move more into that realm. And so they really want to be kind of in that space as they figure out what their next chapter will look like in supporting in the community. So Garden of Prayer Youth Center is coming in there, which is very exciting. We've always, through Enterprise U and kind of our other initiatives, have tried to understand how we bring the youth into, you know, small business and entrepreneurial support and kind of start planting those seeds young. That going out, getting a corporate job, getting a job, that's all great, but it's not for everyone, right? I mean, some people are more entrepreneurial minded. So fostering that at a younger age. So we'll be able to do that with the high school. We'll be able to do that on the college level, and then hopefully with younger kids as well. So Nicole with the Community Foundation is kind of one of our anchor tenants there, and we are excited because the Community Foundation is really, one of the what do I want to say? The pillars of our community kind
there
of
you
hold,
go.
Holding the, and they're involved in so many great things. And I don't know, I do know they don't really get the recognition that they deserve all the time, but.
Yeah, because, well, it's all about our community and improving the quality of life for our community.
That's what the Community Foundation is about.
Yep, that's what we do. And we're very excited to be up in on the second floor of this building, surrounded by all this activity going on. Plus, we just needed a larger space to get all of our staff underneath one roof. And that fly.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry about the darn fly. Like, if I would have known he was in here before we started, I would have. You would have walked in the door to podcast. You would have seen me running around here crazily trying to get the fly.
But another great aspect about the second floor is going to be the networking space that we're going to have and co-working space. It's very exciting just to see what the concept looks like right now. So
Nicole's planning out her office space right now. So it's very exciting. That's the stage we're at, is all of our tenants are, okay, I want this office here. I want a window.
Yeah, I was going to say everyone's arguing who gets the window. Jake gets the basement, throw them down there.
But one of our areas that we focus on is workforce development. So being able to be connected to this space is going to be phenomenal. We're also working on a program right now, getting it started in the county, hopefully in 2022. If not, it'll be 2023, called the CEO program, where it takes high school seniors and brings them together to network with other seniors and businesses in our county. Create those entrepreneurs. So we're very excited to be part of the space, and you know, this could be a feeder program to get more entrepreneurs into the business incubator.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that very much. Now, my question is, so once everything is built, we have all these incredible spaces. Who manages this? I mean, because I know that's got
to
be.
Would you like to come to a meeting next week?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I know that's got to be what somebody's thinking right now while listening to this, or even if they have read, you know, articles in the journal about this. They're like, well, who's going to manage all of this? You know how, and so that's what I'm curious. Right. Like, where does that come into play?
Well, technically, if you talk about tech, so again,
because there's so many different things going on.
Well, exactly. You know. I mean, the apartments will be managed by a professional management agency. So with oversight from the city, of course, and by our organization, but those will be professionally managed with a manager on site and all of that good stuff. The incubator space, I'm going to just say, I mean, yes, it's going to be overseen at the highest level by the city and by Preservation Realty, but it's really going to be a community asset, which means the community is going to be involved and the community is going to be overseeing and speaking into the activities that are taking place there. So that's really the differentiator with this project. It's always been talked about as, and it came out of the whole a community conversation, and that's how it will continue to evolve.
Yeah, I don't even think the community realizes right now that they've been a part of this the whole time. Do you know what I'm saying? When I came to the city in April 2019 to my current role, one of the things that was really lacking was the public engagement, really getting into the neighborhoods, having conversations. And we're not where my vision is at for that yet, but we're in a neighborhood every month having a conversation. And so my team's taking notes, we're writing them down, we're sharing the notes with the aldermen and other city officials, other regional partners. And so through those conversations, these are the things that continue to come through in every neighborhood, no matter what the challenges are there. And so having some sort of, you know, business hub, a place for youth entrepreneurship, exploration, experiential opportunities, one of the things that kept coming up was, and they didn't say it like this, but I'm saying it like this, room for failure that isn't catastrophic to your life, where you're just losing your savings, you can't figure out how to pick yourself up, but you had a great idea, and you learned a lot from the failure, but now you can't go to the next level. And that's such an important part of entrepreneurship, and we don't have that safe place or space. And so the community has already been saying this in those meetings that we've been doing, that I'm sure they think, you know, is about so many other things, but these are the components that kept coming through. And so we took all that and we keep talking about it. And it's one of the reasons it's kind of gone into what's going to be in this space and who's going to manage it. We're going to make sure that we're regularly talking to the community and make that commitment, because this is a living, breathing space that's going to have to change and be flexible. While we're in it for 20 years, we know that technology is changing every day. And so however this building is going to be managed and operated, it's going to have to be flexible and nimble. And it's going to have to always be listening to what the community and the economy is going through, because it's going to drive what's in that building. So we're starting with what we know we need today, but we have to make a commitment to every year looking and seeing if that's what it needs to be for tomorrow.
This element of it, the aspect of making sure this is a community-led and driven event, is really important, you know, for a lot of reasons, but one is, you know, the evil G word, gentrification.
Yeah. Yes, you know, that is. That's a big one, and I'm sure, because, you know, even like of course this is really far away, but my brother, he lives in Brooklyn, in New York. He talks about that all the time. How these outside developments come in, they completely build new condos, all this stuff, and then cost of living is just whoop, right, just through the roof. And then everyone that originally lived there is just kind of driven out, right, you know?
And, so, you know, when you hear us talk about rooftop decks and market rate housing and features, amenities, that's something you have to keep in mind, is that there is a potential for that. And we've seen that in other communities. This element of it, the incubator space, the catalyst space that is going to be as inclusive as possible, purposeful and directed to making sure that different voices of the community that have not been heard in the past are at the table. That's going to be the focal point of this project. And that's what's going to separate it from other locations where you may have seen other people not be able to take advantage of the upward growth. That's something I'm excited for. I know that Project Catalyst, Preservation Realty, the city has been committed to making sure that there are active groups that are made up of people of underrepresented groups, particularly people of color. There are, you know, certain ideas to make sure that the entrepreneurs that are taking advantage of these spaces are people of color, are people of the community, so that, again, they can be part of this renaissance in Kankakee. And we're in a moment where that's very important to do. I mean, it's not going to succeed if this is just the upper echelon making themselves better for everybody. This has to be a Kankakee-driven event. And, you know, as well as anybody, Kankakee has some powerful racial dynamics to it.
Yes.
You know, this is something that we're going to have to be purposeful about in making sure that everybody gets to be part of that.
Yeah.
Part of the table.
Yeah. It's so important to the people that haven't been heard in so long or haven't been able to do anything like you're talking about, because they don't have the resources that my family has or your family has, because, you know, we have that advantage, or our family bought, you know, land here however many years ago, and that's what's helped us with, you know, getting all these opportunities, whereas someone else who may have come in later, they don't have that opportunity. They don't have those roots, if you will, you know, or the family the family money or the family heritage to say, hey, you know, I want to start this business. And yeah. But I've got no money, you know, like I've got nothing. I don't have any, you know, have any help.
And there's strategies to try to make sure that group that has not been able to be part of the conversation is. I mean, whether it's micro lending, whether it's, just targeted outreach to make sure that there are groups getting, you know, certain fees paid for when they come to be part of the curriculum and the entrepreneurial capacity. That's what we have to do in order to make sure that this is not just a good project for the very top, but a project that is great for the city of Kankakee and Kankakee County.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So this is great. I've lost my train of thought. it's just and another thing that I wonder too is I don't know if you're at the point in this development, and I'm sure this is something that is on people's minds too, is with with the apartments that are going to be next to the old Midland Kankakee Federal Building, and even in the Pope Brace, even in that building as well, with the living spaces that are going to go in there. How do you gauge the cost of that? Because as we all know,
right,
renting is very high right now for a lot of people.
Is it?
It's not affordable for for a nice space, to live in. So I'm just curious, like
how are those numbers derived?
Yeah,
somebody who has a mathematical mind crunches those numbers and actually comes up with that. And it's based on it's based on your market. So they look at your market and comparable properties in your market, but they also factor in you're offering something new to the market that's not there, and something that's new and maybe a little bit better quality. So that's all factored in too. But it was important for the development team that we're bringing in a couple different options for, so something a little bit more affordable with the Pope Brace building and the co-living concept, and then something more market rate for some of the executives or anybody really who, is able to, these are again 1, 2, and 3 bedroom. And, I wish I had the numbers off the top of my head of what those are going to be. And I probably don't want to quote it right now.
Yeah,
it may change.
Right. Because by the time it's built, year is it going to be?
So Pope Brace is slated to come online in early 2023, and the apartments late 2022.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and everything's still on time right now. So we should be seeing construction.
I was going to say, when are we breaking ground on stuff?
Yeah, like in September. For
the apartments?
Both apartments in the rehab in the Midland building.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, is the rehab in the Midland building, has that begun yet? Or is all of this beginning at the same time?
It is all beginning at the same time. Okay. As you can imagine, there's cost, there's...
Obviously, getting all the ducks in a row.
Yes. And there's...
permits and...
Right.
All that fun stuff.
Right. All the legal... aspect of it.
And there will be, I don't know, Barbie, if you want.
I was going to say, all about that, Dave, right?
You're
welcome. That's why you're here. You got to have an attorney.
So it'll be exciting because it'll be immediate construction jobs. Mm-hmm. But then obviously we look at the short-term gains, but also then the long-term as well. But there will be, we're excited about the fact that there will be some construction jobs. And not only that, these jobs are going to afford people the opportunity to learn about new building methods that maybe they haven't been exposed to.
The historic preservation side. That's skilled labor that has to be specialized. And so there's going to be the way that the development deal has been written is that there is dedicated opportunities for local people to learn these specialized skills. And then also just making sure that our developments are as inclusive as we can be, and training, utilizing a lot of these development opportunities as an opportunity to build that construction trade workforce that we really desperately need in this area. And this is one of many stuff that's coming down the pipe for Kankakee. So this workforce needs to be built up and supported. And thanks to Preservation Realty team for, listening to the city and working with us on that, because it was important to us that we utilize the opportunity for that part of the workforce development as well. So
now if someone is listening to this right now and they're like, man, like I just started this idea, this entrepreneurial, that's even a word, this new idea, goal, whatever it is, that their business that they're trying to start up, and they're like, I want a space in that incubator. I want to be a part of that. Like, how can they contact you, or can they like put their name in the hat, or
I think
how does that?
The best way to reach right now, we're going to have some different platforms that people can go to participate in a lot of different ways as we're talking about how this is all coming together and have thoughts about what they'd like to see. So stay tuned for that. But if you just want to be entered onto a list, or if you have questions, the best way to reach out is on our Facebook page. So Preservation Realty.
Okay. Cool. Awesome.
Also, just as an announcement, if you're an entrepreneur and you're listening, you have an idea, don't wait. Go find some like-minded people and find yourself a mentor, somebody that you can sit with and talk with right now and cultivate your idea into some sort of plan, you know, and it doesn't have to be... I'm just breaking the system here. You don't need a business plan right now, but some plan of how you're going to launch your idea into real life. And that comes out of many conversations with different people. So find yourself in a coffee shop with local, you know, people and just start having conversations. And you're going to find yourself opening yourself up to a whole network of creative people. You know, and you're going to go down that path, but don't wait. And if you're really, really interested in getting plugged into the business community as a whole, any one of your chambers and any community is going to open that door for you as well. So like, I get it, you know, like this is going to be great and you can just walk in off the street if you want to and figure out how you're going to participate when this building's open. But if you're listening, you have an idea, don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
Obviously. Yeah.
Get plugged in now.
Yeah.
You know,
Someone that's already, you know, has begun. That's why I was saying,
totally.
You know, someone that's already begun and they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I need because I can't work out of my house anymore, or I can't,
exactly.
you know, my kitchen's not cutting it, or whatever it is. So
there will be a fee. And this was brought
course.
Up. There'll be a fee, $250 a month. And that's kind of the standard fee to be able to use the space to be at any, come and go as you please. And then obviously the educational opportunities and the speakers and things that will be offered through the program. There will be, Barbie has identified some funding and will be continually identifying funding to offset the costs for people who aren't able to pay that fee. So we're excited about that too. Again, that goes to the inclusivity piece. This is a public-private partnership, so it's important that we're able to, you know, the impact side of this is really what we're looking at, you know, affecting. And we could talk all day about that. That could get real boring.
I don't know about that, but, you know. But, yeah, there's so many things we could talk about all day.
I know.
So what else do we need to know at this point in time before we close out about Preservation Realty or any of the different projects?
I'd say, and Barbie and I just had a meeting yesterday with Mayor Curtis about this. The biggest thing we're thinking about right now is the strategic planning element of this. So we're bringing the community together. We're hoping for engagement numbers in the 50,000 person range. So we're looking to engage current residents, potential residents, people who work here, maybe don't live here, and people maybe who've gone and, you know, moved away and could potentially think about moving back at some point. We want to engage kind of the wider community in a conversation about what this is going to be. Again, with that commitment to understanding, yes, we're going to create something, and out of the box, we have a pretty strong idea of what we're bringing online, but that there's always going to be room for the community to weigh in. So we're going to be entering into about a 6-month strategic planning process. So there'll be in-person meetings, there'll be kind of some virtual stuff we'll do, and really looking for community input on that and excited about, we know the community's got great ideas. I mean, that's how we arrived at the place we're at now. It all was community input. We're just kind of the vehicle to bring it online.
You know, when you talk about economic development, you don't even know you're talking about economic development because I'm sure you've heard, I mean, you said in the beginning of this interview, you often went past the Pope Brace building and your thought or what you said to somebody was, they should put an apartment building there.
Yeah.
They should put a condo building there. And there's other people who say, They should put a Portillo's over at the corner of this station.
I'm just like, I don't care about the Portillo's thing, you know?
I mean, I'm with you. There's better restaurants in Chicago than Portillo's.
And just like, you know, nothing against the chains, you know, but it's just like, I don't get excited about the chains
Chick-fil-A.
Anymore. Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I'm like I said, I have nothing against those chains or companies, but I just get more excited about local stuff that's happening nowadays. To me, it's a little more exciting. But that's just me. You know, like I said, nothing personal against, you know, now Chick-fil-A is not going to advertise with me, but, you know, that's okay. Okay.
Or they should put a locally owned used bookstore, you know. But it's always they, right?
Right, it is, you know, always they.
You always put this agency on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. This is the time to be they. I mean, where everybody in the community can be that element that is including ideas and not just throwing out ideas and saying somebody should deal with them, but then learning what you need to do to get there, learning how those tax credits work, learning how to activate microfinancing, learning how to get a small loan to be able to then do the next step. This is the time where it has to be community-driven economic development.
I think Dave is calling out all the people that just comment on Daily Journal articles all day long on Facebook.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're sure we don't know what you mean.
But there's something to be said, too, about the comment page, right, of the Daily Journal.
Because
my whole thought has been, you know, once you see Pope Brace and think about what it was, and you have this Kankakee mind, this former Kankakee mindset of this is what it is, this is what it'll always be, and then you see what's going to be, that's a psychological game changer. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to be very impactful for this community, especially with what Barbie was saying a minute ago about, especially among millennials and Generation Z, we don't know Roper. We don't know that element. We know what Kankakee has been. And since then, it's only gone up. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It's only been, maybe it's been at a low place, but it's continuing to climb. And it's going to keep climbing. And that means that it's not going to be what it used to be. And that's a little bit scary, I think, for a lot of people. But we're taking advantage of a lot of new trends, pop-ups, you know, co-working spaces. One that is another thing that people like to disparage on Facebook, but bike lanes. These are elements that you see used and done very well throughout the country, and we're now going to take them and make them part of Kankakee, and it's going to help us really bring us to uplift.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's things, obviously, they don't stay the same, and I think that's one great thing about this incubator space that's going to go in the Midland building is that it can evolve with the times.
Yes.
You know, unlike, you know, when the Roper building was built, it was built just for that.
Exactly.
You know, obviously the Roper building in Kankakee doesn't exist anymore, but that's that's just an example. Or like the Pope Brace building, we're going to do something else with that, but like it can be more than just, you know, it was the Pope Brace building. It can be more than that, you know. Right. The same thing for so many other, I mean, spaces or empty buildings, you know. Things constantly change, and the fact that you're going to build something that can change with the times is exactly what we need, you know. So hopefully we can keep it occupied and keep it going, keep the community aspect of it going, and that's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah. Change is a big part of what's happening in this space. I mean, how we're going about developing the space has been, you know, not part of the normal operating way of doing economic development in the past. The way that we've really looked at community feedback and asked for input, and the community didn't realize that from the moment that there was interest in these projects, you know, all of that is different than what we've ever done before. And the other part is being purposeful and really mindful that what's in this space isn't going to be a space maybe that we're going to use, but it's for people that need it. And so we have to go meet with those people regularly, get immersed into that entrepreneurial, you know, creative economy. And it's in the city of Kankakee, there's a good portion of our population, the majority of our population is people of color. And there's a robust, you know, people of color entrepreneurial ecosystem that's already has been thriving for years. I'm new to it. They're not new to it, but I'm new to it because we've gone out to seek them out. And so in the strategic planning process, we have been very mindful that we want to include equity into this conversation. We need a guide, a leader in that field that we want to bring online so that they will be with us. But that's also part of change for the city. The next 6 months is going to be some pretty challenging conversations as we dive into what is the resources that need to be there, because the system of entrepreneurial development has always been kind of you need your business plan because you need to be able to be funded by a bank, and this is the route you need to go.
Very traditional, yeah.
But that doesn't work for everybody, and it certainly doesn't work for a lot of the gig entrepreneurs mm-hmm. that we have in the community. We already have a large population of home-based businesses that are doing well, but what's the next step? Do they want to stay at home? Do they want to get out of their home studio and into a different place? But they may not be ready for Main Street yet, but they are ready to be somewhere else. And so we have to understand what it's like to be in their business, and then we need them to be making decisions about how the space gets created. But it's going to be a lot of relationship building, trust building, and you can't do that without acknowledging that there has been a separation of how people of color entrepreneurs have been welcomed and operated in this region versus, white people who've been able to be a part of, you know, be in the room, get the invitation.
Yes.
And so I'm still learning every day about what equity means, what I need to be doing in my role for that. And so it's going to be part of this next 6 months conversation, because when the doors open, everybody has to be invited, and not just invited, but like know that there's room for them and that they can operate, make decisions that better themselves, and participate, because they are part of the community. They are the majority of the community of Kankakee, and that needs to be included and stated every step of the way for what's going to happen in this space. And that is change, and that is different than what we've done before, but we have to do this from now on in order to create the spaces and places that are going to thrive in this community.
Yeah, it's almost like it could be the incubator. It's almost like the a middle ground for an entrepreneur, you know, going from the house to the incubator, and then they do so well there that they can actually afford their own space.
Exactly.
And, yeah. You know, in Kankakee or Bradley or Bourbonnais or wherever it is.
Right.
You know.
I mean, and Barbie did reference this. There are a good 50% of entrepreneurs are those micro entrepreneurs that
yes.
may never graduate to like a traditional retail space.
But with this incubator, they might.
But I'm saying their business may not lend itself to that
type of,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And they may be like, they may have several side gigs,
yes.
You know, and so we appreciate the fact that even if we're just impacting that one individual as a sole proprietor, there's a resilience piece to this too. I mean, many people are still losing their jobs, and then entrepreneurship is a fallback too. So there's a lot of different stories around, there are a lot of different types of entrepreneurs. But this facility is going to be positioned to serve all of them.
That's wonderful. And well said, Barbie, by the way. That was, you nailed it.
Thank you. I'm yeah. still learning. I really am too.
I am too. And it's amazing how much, once you really open your eyes to everything, how many amazing people and how many amazing things really are happening in the area. And
if you ever get a chance, talk to Kent Courtney Wade.
Yes. Well, I talked to her husband.
Yeah.
But he was telling me about his wife when he was on the podcast and saying that she's really been coming out of her shell.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Did you talk? I haven't listened to that podcast, and I totally remember that you did that. Did you talk about the Black Pages at all?
He mentioned it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he mentioned the Black Pages. I don't know how. I don't think we got into far depth, but
yeah.
I remember him. I'm almost positive he brought that up for a minute and talked, because that was something that she started, right?
Yeah.
It'd be fun to, I think Kent and I talked about him maybe coming back with her sometime or having her on at one point, but I'm sure it'll happen.
It's that moment for me when I, you look at all of this great entrepreneurial, you know, people of color in the community, and then I, having a moment in my own whiteness going, wait, they've been operating for years. I'm new. This is like, I'm like, oh, look at all these new businesses. And then I was like,
it's
no.
Like, oh, they've actually been going on. It's new to you. Yeah, exactly. And that's,
you have to sit in that for a moment and realize that, like, oh my gosh. I have a lot to learn.
Yes.
A lot to learn.
Yeah, same here, and I'm excited to learn about it. So, anything else before we close out?
Just real quick, you know, one other element of the equity piece that we're kind of just exploring here, and we haven't really talked about this as a group, but I have absolutely noticed this. This is really a female led initiative. You know, there are a lot of men who are involved here, but the capacity that so many of our women leaders have brought to the table with this is clear and apparent. Commercial real estate has been a male-dominated industry, not just cross-country, but particularly in Kankakee County. And I'm, you know, not going to disparage any of those commercial realtors, but it has been dominated by sort of a male viewpoint. And this has really, in my eyes, it's been incredible to see certain characteristics of inclusivity, of keeping in mind equitable actions. And I think that is generated in large part because this isn't largely led by strong female leaders within our community.
I mean, they know how to organize things very well. So, you know.
and negotiate difficult situations. It's been incredible to be a part of.
Yeah, I think that's great. And there needs to be, like you said, there needs to be more of that. Especially the commercial, like you just said, has been dominated by men. And it's like you see plenty of women realtors in housing, but you don't see enough in commercial. So the fact
snaps
that
you two snaps so much.
That, you know, the fact that they're starting to be able to be like, hey, well, you know, I've got this great idea for this commercial space. Let me in here, you know, see what I can do. And that's great to see. So
the ideas are better.
They're better, exactly. And I'm glad you pointed that out. It's absolutely true.
Well, we're glad we brought him today.
That's why he's here. Gives you all the compliments. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, I absolutely agree. It's great to see that. So lots of great things happening in Kankakee. So thank you.
Did you think the conversation was going to be this much fun?
Oh, I know. I knew it was going to be fun.
Like, I feel like even still talking about it some more, I'm still learning. Like, as we're talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to make that mental note. We can bring that up in that meeting and plan this out. Like,
I just imagine
for you and in your seat listening to us. I mean, how is that for you to hear about these kind of,
well, it's
these plans and these developments?
What I think about, I guess to answer your question, is I think about how important it is for people to be able to hear this more in depth, beyond hearing about it on the radio and beyond hearing about it, reading that one article in the Daily Journal. I think I'm hoping as many people as possible obviously listen to this because they're actually going to get more of an insight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's more or less like this is almost like a meeting without going to a meeting.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
And this podcast will live forever, you know, on the internet.
Evergreen.
Exactly.
Evergreen content.
It's evergreen content, you know? So if you miss the Thursday night meeting coming up.
Right. Exactly. It's perfect.
There's this. There's plenty of information for someone to get their feet wet and wanting to know more.
And it's positive news. I mean, I think people are forgetting that there are positive developments happening and continuing, and we have many things to be concerned about right now, but, you know, this is kind of the counterbalance to that. And there is a way to become involved, and there is a path to, like, your own personal future kind of development if you happen to be here in Kankakee County. This is just something to look into.
Exactly. So. Yeah. You know, people can read beyond the headline in the journal about, you know, they're buying this Midland building and they're making it a business incubator, and they're like, someone scratching their head like, what does that mean? You know, they can listen to this podcast
exactly.
And they'd be like, oh, okay, I get it now. So, you know, that's just the thing. It just kind of goes over our heads for those of us who like to support small businesses, but we're not actually a small business ourselves, or yeah. We're not an entrepreneur. Maybe we're just an everyday person that likes to go out to all the local businesses.
And I love Dave's point, and Dave's probably going to expound upon this, just encouraging people to be proactive.
Yes.
And really look into all the resources that are out there, whether or not you're interested in entrepreneurship. I mean, there are many resources in the community, from the Community Foundation to the Convention and Visitors Bureau to the chambers to there's so many resources. If you have a particular area that you're looking to explore, there are people and organizations, many of them out there, that are willing to and ready to help.
Yeah. And don't be intimidated by them. Entrepreneurs listening. Do it's not easy. Be intimidated.
It's easy to be intimidated. I can vouch for that.
This is the first time I've ever quoted Hamilton for a conversation about economic development, but dying is easy, living is harder. I mean, it is very easy to just throw barbs at everything that's going on and say this is not the way forward. Actually trying to build it up, that's tough.
Yes.
And that is what's going to take a lot more of it, particularly in a community like Kankakee County, in order to move these things forward. I really appreciate how you do this in a historical context. I mean, you spend a lot of time digging into the history of not just the buildings we're looking at redeveloping, but throughout the community. It's taking that and recognizing that that's going to stick around, even if we bring some new ideas, even if we bring something a little bit different to the table. So this is a perfect forum, the perfect medium to talk about that.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that, Dave. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's I wanted this podcast to be for everyone. So anything, you know, that's cool and positive happening in the area, whether it's past or present, that was the whole idea of this. So, all right. Well, Barbie Brewer Watson, Dave Barron, Nicole, how do you, Smolkovich. Smolkovich. There we go. And of course, Lisa Wogan.
Wogan.
I always forget that. It's Wogan. Excuse me. Thank you all for being
here.
Thank you. Preservation Realty. Really excited to see these projects and buildings come to life. And just to one last time reiterate, that business incubator that's going to go inside Midland is a community effort. So anyone can be involved in that. That's the big thing that everyone needs to know. You don't have to sit back and just say, well, they should do this, they should do that. And it's like, well, you can actually do that if you really want to. If you think that's a good idea, let's make it happen. You know, so.
Yes.
That was great.
He got it.
People tend to stick to me.